Our first scripture comes from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 17, verses 22 through 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. And since it's parables, I'd invite you to close your eyes and imagine, but I was warned many years ago that you would end up falling asleep if I did that. So try and imagine. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But then the grain is ripe. At once he goes out with his sickle because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Wondrous and mighty God, we come to you on this day where we see a return to a more normal worship. We are ever thankful for all you have done for us through these many months. We ask, Lord, that your word on this day would lead us, guide us, teach us, and keep us as we seek to serve you, as we seek to understand the path you have set us on. In your wondrous name we pray. Amen. Today we have two parables of seeds, two kind of different seeds, if you will, but growth nonetheless. Parables about growing during this time of year just feel right. It feels like this is the time that you should have a parable like this. It's like a bowl of soup on a cold, snowy day. You get in the car and go from here, and you're driving down 209, and you look on both sides, and what do you have? Corn, or hopefully corn at least. It's just there in our conscience as we go forth, the idea of growing and growing things. The difficulty, though, is there are always issues with parables and comparisons. There's always the false equivalencies we try and make in our own parables and comparisons, where we try to compare one thing, one struggle to another. But the reality is that sometimes we just have to let the simile, the metaphor, the parable speak in its own words and not do too much. And that's the trouble with a parable, the trouble of letting the image speak and not trying to overanalyze and overdigest it, I guess you could say. Now, here Jesus calls these parables comparisons of the kingdom of God. With what shall we compare the kingdom of God to? The second parable speaks of the growth of the kingdom. Now, I hope you're all in a farming or at least gardening frame of mind now, because Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. Think about that. You can call it heaven. You can point up to heaven, however you want to deal with it. We are talking about the kingdom of God, where God sits enthroned, where God reigns. This is what we pray for when we pray those words, thy kingdom come. This is what we are praying comes to earth. And so that is why it's so important for us to really understand as much as we can what God, what Jesus is talking about. Now, when Jesus tells this parable, he doesn't use normal descriptors and adverbs. The kingdom of God is shiny, you know, like most elementary school kids learn their adverbs and adjectives, right, guys? You're learning those descriptor words. The kingdom of heaven is blue, or, you know, Jesus doesn't do that. That's too simple. Jesus wants us to flesh out, to have a 3D image in our heads, not of pillars and that of heaven, but what the ethos of heaven is, what it is like there. He speaks of a farmer who plants seed. Now, we need to understand that the role of the farmer is very basic. Plant the seeds, take care of the seeds. But there is a primary job with that seed that the farmer cannot control. The farmer is not the giver and arbiter of life. The farmer hits a point in caring for that seed that the farmer can't do anything more. You plant the seed, you fertilize the seed, you water the seed, and you wait. Maybe you weed here and there as the maple trees drop their whirligigs down. There hits a point where you can't do anything more than occasionally water the seed. There is a point where human hands cannot do more. There's a certain point with the kingdom of God where we can't do more either. We are so much like this farmer. We have to sit back and trust that God is working almost behind the scenes. Sure, you see that seed grow. Sure, you see it get bigger, 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 bigger. But you don't know how. And for you science people, I know you know how, photosynthesis and all that. But we don't know, we don't perceive how it's growing. We don't perceive that all the insides and intricacies of that plant. Now, when you think about the growth of the seed and thus the kingdom of God, there is that imperceptibility of it. And don't correct me on that word. I know it's not really a word. We don't necessarily see the full growth. We don't see it getting bigger. It's like when you see your children every single day, you don't really notice how big they're getting. And then after a year of pandemic and lockdowns, people see your kids. And then it's like, how big are they now? The reality is you don't see the growth when you check the plant every day. You don't see it unless there's a huge thunderstorm and a ton of rain, and suddenly your green beans have blossomed and sprouted and are huge. You don't see that. And so you see the kingdom of God, you put in the work, you do all the work, and yet you don't always see that growth, that building up that you want to see. But this is not building a tower with Legos where you see the bricks you're putting in. This is working for God's kingdom. Sure, with kids, we mark on the doorpost how tall you get. Or we have one of those little yardsticks that we kind of move along. That's how we measure growth, to make sure that we're not crazy and the kid hasn't stayed the same height forever. The fact is, there's a part of that growth in God's kingdom that we can't see. We know it's happening. We know it's there, but we don't see it because we're so far in it. But there also is a time when growth ends. This is the time when the grain is ripe, but there's an unpredictability about that. Sure, you can guesstimate when a seed will be ripe for harvest, but you can't say for sure the exact day, the exact moment that your wheat is ready, that your corn is ready. I mean, how many of us have heard that knee-high by the 4th of July comment about corn? But that doesn't mean the corn will actually be ready at the right time, at the set time. There's an unknown part of this, just like there's an unknown part with when God's kingdom will come. The only being that exists that knows is God. We don't. That's why it's always interesting when you get people who say, well, God is coming and this is the day. Sit back, grab an armchair. They're wrong. You know why? Because God knows and we don't. Because only God knows. It's on the horizon. It's going to come. It's going to be, but not yet and not now. And now we transition to the other parable. This is one that is always near and dear to my heart, because if I could entreat all of you to do this with your fingers. No, I'm not asking you to do this, but this. Just take your fingers and get them like this and then put them together. Come on. And I want you to look at that tiny little speck of a hole you have there. That's how I learned to gauge in Sunday school the size of a mustard seed. That little tiny, tiniest piece. That's before I knew about grainy mustard and all of that. It's such a tiny, tiny seed. And yet, it grows so big. But then again, Jesus didn't have to use the mustard seed. If Jesus had lived in the Northeast, so to speak, he probably would have compared it to a maple tree. After all, I look in the backyard, and as you leave here, I'd encourage you to look at the big maple tree in the backyard of the parsonage. Look at the size of that tree and imagine those little tiny whirligigs that fall to the earth, and how at one time, that whirligig became that tree. It's so big, so huge, and yet it started so small. It's hard to think of growth in certain terms. It's hard to have a garden because there's a certain point where there's nothing more to do with it. You sit back and you wait. The farmers I've known complain about the summer because it's hot and all they have to do is water. Now, if you have a lot of fields, that's a lot of watering. But there's a point where all you can do is wait and trust that what is promised, what is going to be, will come. With a garden, the plants you place, the that you grow. You put the trust in the natural process, in your own efforts and in nature, that if everything happens, if you planted the seed, if you put on the dirt, if you made sure to fertilize, everybody fertilized. If you get the right amount of rain, you will have the food. But it isn't so simple, and yet it is that simple with the kingdom of God. There's an inherent trust in our relationship with God. Trust that we do the work of God's kingdom. Trust that we follow where God leads. And yes, there's that imperceptibility about it, that we can't necessarily see the kingdom being built before our eyes. Put in the efforts. Work, and we work, and we serve, and we serve, and we trust that somehow, some way, it's happening. And yet, there's a trust in knowing that whatever efforts we're doing, God is there. God is in that moment. God is working behind the ground, in the ground of our lives as we work for God's kingdom. On the one hand, we must trust in the work that God has called us to do, in the work where God has called us to follow and be and to serve. And we need to trust that there is work going on behind the scenes, behind everything else we're doing. God is moving. God is working. It's like you can't see the root of a plant growing beneath the ground, and yet you can't see God's hand working and moving always, can you? There's a trust in an unflappability with God. God is always, God will always, even when we're not at our best. The trust we have in our faith is multifaceted and multi-leveled. On the one hand, there is the trust in God's steadfastness, the trust in knowing God's word is what God's word is. Trust in the promises of God, just as God promised to be with the people of Israel through the wilderness, God will be with us through whatever wilderness we have. Trust that what God says will be. Trust that when God promises us that unperceived kingdom, that unseen kingdom, it will be ours. It is ours. God gives us this moment that we hope for, that we trust in, and it will come. The Jets might not win a championship, but it will come. The fact is, there is a joy in all of this, a joy in knowing what is God is doing and what we are doing for God. But there needs to be a patience as we sit, as we wonder, a patience in knowing that what we have done is all that we can do. A patience in knowing that God is, God was, and God will be. Our job, brothers and sisters, is to go and plant the seeds. Our job is to fertilize those seeds. Our job is to water those seeds. Our job is to care for those seeds and let God do the rest. Brothers and sisters, we must trust and have confidence in all that God is doing. And trust that even though we might have a brown thumb, God has a very green one. Brothers and sisters, let us find joy and comfort in our trust in God as we plant the seeds for the kingdom. Amen.